At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at NerdWallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter.
This is the Minnesota Tim Podcast. Rate and review the podcast wherever you are currently listening to this podcast. But let's dive into it right away. Jake's takes. It's Wednesday morning. It's tradition. What is this, 4 or 5 weeks in a row? Man, this is crazy. Well, maybe more than that. Right? 6 weeks in a row? Weeks in a row?
6-1, 7, I don't know.
5-1, but through 6 weeks?
Yep.
This has been the best we've ever done. Specifically me. I'm finally holding myself accountable and doing podcasts more regularly. But it was a huge week. I mean, we got a lot to dive into. The Vikings defeated the Dolphins, but even bigger than that, Jacob's record up to the bye week was 100% correct. He has a vision, and he casted that vision. He is a psychic. He knows your thoughts. He sees the future. He is a prophet of the Minnesota Vikings 2022 season, and he's also the offensive coordinator for Litchfield. So we'll talk about the Vikings in a little bit, but more important than that is revenge mania. Litchfield Dragons versus Watertown Mayor football. We graduated from Watertown. For those that listen that aren't from Watertown, Jacob coached and taught at Watertown, and then he jumped ship, kind of like the Green Bay Packers, Zadarius Smith to the Minnesota Vikings, mm-hmm. except for the kind of the exact opposite because the Litchfield Dragons are green. Jacob jumped ship from Watertown to Litchfield. Now he coached against Watertown. Give us the details of this matchup.
Well, it was an eventful evening last Thursday night. Kids were hyped because I talked it up as a big, meaningful game.
And to be honest,
I had those butterflies. I did. You know, I'm not gonna lie. I had those kind of that because I knew all those Watertown kids. You know, taught most of them, so I care about those kids. And then I knew the coaching staff over there. One was Ben Tyson, family friend kind of thing for his entire life. The other coach is Finkelson, whom you and I know really well. You know, he taught me, and he was our basketball coach over when we were in high school. I don't remember if he was your 8th or 9th grade coach or JV, depending, but either way, he coached us. And then I coached with him the last 5 years, so obviously the joking was going back and forth in our text chain. Me and Fink were talking some smack before the game. So it was a big one. So our kids were amped. I'm sure their kids were amped. There's some trash talking on the field when they showed up, you know, and stuff. So all healthy, good stuff. First couple plays, I think we were almost too nervous, like a little bit uneasy. They scored like within a couple plays. It was 8-0, just like boom, like that.
You're like Nick Saban on the sideline. Were you yelling and pissed off?
Nope. I'm more of a calm presence. So I just walked around and said, you know, hey, they're just as good as we are. I think it's two pretty even opponents. If we don't show up, that's what they're going to do all day. You know, Because we were, what would we be? We were 4-2. So we were kind of, you know, we're good, but we also thought we were really good too. So you got to remember when you play a good team, you got to focus. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if we fumbled or we had a very quick possession. And they had the ball back. And then in the back of my head, I was like, oh, this could get, you know, rough quick. They tried to do a pitch. Our D end was just standing there and picked off their pitch and ran it back for a touchdown.
Wow.
So we tied the game. Big momentum. Big yeah. play. Yep. They went down. You remember Robert Danielson?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, no doubt. He dunked the ball before games.
Yep. Yeah. His boy is in eighth grade, Blake, and he had like a 55-yard touchdown pass or receiving. He's a tight end. So they threw the next possession, they threw a 55-yarder to him, a little tight end seam route, and he was untouched. He's looking like a pretty good athlete. And then we had our 2-minute drill at the end of the half. It actually was perfect. We were spiking the ball. We were doing outs. We did a halfback pass that got us like 40 yards. We were just pulling every trick out of the playbook here. Scored with like 10 seconds left before half. So that was pretty fun. So it was 16-14. We were winning because we got both our 2-point conversions. Whole third quarter, boring as heck. Fumbles, 3-and-outs, both teams. Fourth quarter, pretty much the same thing. It was our ball on our own, like, it was around the 15 or 10-yard line because we were huddled up in our own end zone. So this would be the end of the story here.
Okay. And you guys have the lead right now, 16-14.
16-14 still. No one scored. There's like 3 minutes left. They called a timeout to stop the clock. It was like 3rd and 15 because I just ran it up the gut twice. So I was like, we're not going to fumble because it was like 35 degrees. So there's just both teams are fumbling like crazy.
Yeah. Bowl game in Green Bay, right?
Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to fumble and like give them a 10-yard field. You know, if worst case, if we have to punt, we have to punt. And then they at least have to go 40 yards kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they call a timeout in 3rd and 15. I'm like, well, we could be aggressive here. So I asked the guys in the huddle and I was like, all right. Like, I see it as two options. We can run it up the gut or kind of like a sweep or something and just, you know, don't get a safety and don't turn it over. Make them call their timeout. Or we can go with kind of, we have a fake swing pass or a fake bubble pass. And then one of the blockers leaks out like a bomb.
I'm intrigued.
So I just call it the bubble bomb because it's a fake bubble and then you throw the bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was pretty civilized. They all talked about it. A couple of them are like, we should just be safe. They can't score on us. They can't score on us. I'm like, yeah, that's true. They haven't in the second half. And then some of them were like, yeah, but we should just go for the kill. You know, and so they'd all talked about it. Finally, they looked at the quarterback. He's like, I think we should go for the kill.
Yeah.
And I was hoping, I was probably going to call that anyway, but I was happy they agreed with me. So we did that play. And then so you fake the out pass kind of to our fastest player. The safety, I'm just watching the safety because the rest of it, I don't even care. Safety took like 2-3 steps in because he thought it was going to be that little swing pass. And I'm like, we got him. My blocker releases from his block and starts running his go route. Quarterback had just enough time. Line was great. Throws a little, you know,
teardrop
over the safety in the corner who both crashed in thinking it was a little swing pass to our best player. Catches it and he trots down the field for a nice like 85-yard touchdown to basically seal the game.
That was awesome.
And then I'm running by, you know, so that obviously our sideline's going nuts. There's actually kind of a lot of people there because the 5th and 6th grade game was after that, like the Litchfield game. So there's actually like they were waiting for our game to be over. So
was this in Litchfield or in Watertown?
It was in Litchfield, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, much to my dad's chagrin. I texted him that we were the rivalry game. I'm like, Watertown in Litchfield tomorrow. And then he showed up at Watertown. I'm like, oh, I thought you said it was in Watertown. He's like, I put my coat on and everything. Like, read the text.
So anyway, Litchfield beat Watertown.
Yep. And so you'll love this. So obviously we have to go down to the 2-point conversion. I was as jacked as I've probably been in a long time.
Yeah.
I was like fist pumping and screaming, let's go. And because it was pretty chippy. Both teams were pretty, it was two good teams, so it was made it extra fun. And so the coaches in middle school football are on the field, kind of like behind everything, just to kind of talk to the players. But, you know, I tell them in the huddle quick and try to back out, so I'm not doing too much coaching. Same on defense, right? So Finkelson's on defense. had to do the run by of Mr. Finkelson there long 80-yard play as his defense just gave up the game losing touchdown. That was a little dramatic. I didn't say, I bit my tongue. I thought about talking some smack. Figured that wasn't the time. But.
Yes, he has a little bit of a serious face. A little serious.
He does.
He wants to win. He's a very competitive person.
Yeah. And we talked after, obviously, and it was great.
That was my next question. Did you guys handshake at the 50-yard line, or was it a quick handshake and then a dart to the locker room?
There was a lot of media there. With cameras to make sure, because they were thinking it might be a PJ Fleck, Coach Kill situation.
Yes.
If you're a Gophers fan.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. No. So I will say probably half the Watertown players didn't shake my hand. Some of them because they actually were angry, I think, and some because we have that vibe. Like, I'm a very sarcastic teacher, and the ones who get it, like, you know, they were doing it back to me, and that's funny. Mm-hmm. Some of them I think were actually mad, but that's okay. They're eighth graders. It's fine. It was emotional.
Yeah. Enjoy the
and
loss.
They played really well.
Big bucko.
Yeah. it was fine. So Finkelson and Ben, we did shake hands and it was cordial. We talked after a little bit. But it was really fun. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I could just picture the play in my head. Honestly, a bubble screen pass. I like that play. Maybe
we have Kevin O'Connell. Yeah, trips. You have trips. And then you have like two blockers, you know? And you're fake throwing it to one guy, and one of the blockers leaks out. It's
O'Connell will watch the tape and then install that offensive play into the Minnesota Vikings offense during the bye week.
That might be. I can go down to TCO if that'd be helpful. I mean, they could use the help on offense based on last game transition. Look at that.
Exactly. Look at us, man. We're like radio professionals.
Topic. Oh, professional.
My goodness, I'm just amazed.
Well, I'm just following the run of show. The run of show said talk about middle school football, segue to Vikings football. So I'm just doing my job.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a wonderful job.
Thanks.
So speaking of the last game, the Minnesota Vikings defeated the Dolphins 24-16. They moved to 5-1, entering the bye week, which we talked about a little bit earlier. My first question is this. How did you know the Vikings would be 5-1 at the bye week? I predicted 4-2. Now I'm going to ask a follow-up question to this. So let's not touch on the second half of the season yet. But 5-1, your thoughts.
Sure. So yeah, I did. I'm 6-6 so far predicting.
Yeah.
I will say, not to jump ahead, I have the Cardinals as a loss. I thought that'd be a tougher game. So we'll see if it holds, but yeah, 5-1. This isn't exactly what I thought in terms of by now. I thought our offense would be a little bit more of a well-oiled machine. It seems like this podcast is a little bit of, and everybody, not just us, but it's a little bit of wash, rinse, repeat, right? Where it's like, well, the offense didn't look great. The defense had moments, but they looked like they got kind of torched. And then somehow the Vikings came away with the win, right? That's okay in week two and week three when we were saying that. But now it's starting to be like, okay, is it going to get better? Because obviously this pattern is not sustainable. Like, they're gonna lose these games that are the 50-50 games basically have all gone their way so far.
Yeah.
And part of that is on the Vikings. Like, they are earning it. They're making enough plays. They're doing, like, even that, but without that Waddle fumble, like, who's to say the Dolphins don't win that game? You know, again, the Vikings took advantage of it at the end. They did. Dalvin Cook scored the touchdown. They got the two score lead. Everything works out. But like, so they're taking advantage of the things they need to, but it's like, what was that, 17, where we ended up like 13-3 or whatever it was?
Yeah, yep.
Like, that season had magic, and we kept pulling wins out of our butts. Arsh. Just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But it felt like a magic season. This is kind of the same thing, but I don't feel any magic yet.
Yeah. Well,
like, I keep waiting for
the Lions game was a little magical. The throw to KJ Osborne.
That
one felt a little magical. And then I came on the podcast and said, this could be similar to Favre to Greg Lewis.
Yep.
And here we are, 5-1. I read an article yesterday where it showed that the Vikings were 5-1 to start the 2016 season with Sam Bradford at quarterback.
Yep,
and then finished the season 8-8 and missed out on the playoffs after having an abysmal finish. People are making a huge deal about this. About the 3 and outs that the Vikings had against the Dolphins. What, 10 3 and outs? I think we had a 3 and out every possession in the first quarter and get a first down until the second quarter. I'm not putting too much into that. I think that, like, if you get a first down and then you punt the ball away versus you just punt the ball away right away, there's not that much of a difference there. I mean, maybe a little bit in field position, maybe a little bit in offensive rhythm, but regardless, you're scoring 0 points. And my takeaway from this game is that even when the Minnesota Vikings are struggling offensively, they still scored 24 points in that game, which like 30 something or 40 something, which isn't a high point total, but it's not 19 to 16 Chargers Broncos kind of points either.
Yep.
The Vikings are finding ways to score points. And I was actually encouraged by that performance instead of discouraged. The Bills, they scored 19 points against the Dolphins. So the Dolphins have a good defense.
Yes, they do. Yep.
And I don't know. I'm not that discouraged by the 24 point total.
Yep. Nope. And I wouldn't say I'm like overly discouraged. It's just you're kind of waiting for it to look dynamic. And there's a lot of times of the game where it doesn't look dynamic, especially, and maybe that's feels worse because we're used to Dalvin Cook being just like 100 yards a game machine.
Mm-hmm.
And he is not, whether it's him, I think it's more scheme related that they're just not emphasizing getting him yards the way that Mike Zimmer would. Obviously, Mike Zimmer was pound the ball down your throat kind of guy. So maybe that just makes it feel worse too, is that you're used to seeing Dalvin Cook be like the staple of the offense and he's kind of an afterthought. Obviously, he broke off that big run at the end, but without that, I forget the exact numbers, but he had like, it was like 10 carries for like 15 yards or something ridiculous. Yeah. Like it was like absolutely atrocious. And like you said, though, the Dolphins defense, I mean, they were 3-0 with Tua, with some important wins. Like they are a good team if you have a competent quarterback in there. So, but it's kind of funny. So I was listening to, I don't even remember what was it, Power Trip? I don't remember. But they were talking about Patrick Peterson. And in the post game interview, because like Teddy Bridgewater ended up with 300 some yards despite not playing in the first quarter. Or, you know, most of whatever. And they mentioned that to Peterson, like, Teddy Bridgewater had whatever yards. He's like, wait, really? He's like, I thought we did better than that. And then he looked at the stats and realized that their defense kind of got torched for yards purposes. They didn't convert it into points, but just kind of that bend but don't break we've talked about in the last couple of weeks. Like, offense, defense, both sides, they're just doing enough. They're not ever looking spectacular.
They're not flashing us with anything. That's for sure.
But they're not really grenading us either so far. You know, they're not really, like, the biggest thing I think people have been pointing out or pointing to is last year Mike Zimmer was the worst in the NFL in point differential in the last 2 minutes of halves. And this year the Vikings are number one. Now that's not just Zimmer's fault, but just like it shows that when they need to convert, they are converting.
And that was one of my points that I made on the podcast on Monday when the Vikings have made mistakes this season. And I guess it's a little different, but when they have made mistakes this season, they've been able to overcome those mistakes. Meaning, you mentioned the Jalen Waddle fumble. Greg Joseph missed the extra point to put the Vikings up 17 to 10 eventually. And then you're looking at that drive and you're thinking, oh my gosh, the Dolphins are going to take the lead 17-16 because of Greg Joseph's missed field goal. And you can look back at previous games and look at Kirk Cousins' interception against the Saints, the play against the Lions in the first half and the third quarter. And the Vikings have been able to overcome all of these mistakes, which it didn't seem like they were doing in the past. You would look at that Greg Joseph missed extra point in the past and think, oh my word, this is going to cost the Vikings the game. And then the Vikings defense forced a turnover and Dalvin Cook basically sealed it with the 50 something yard touchdown run. So I think that's been a theme so far this season.
Yeah. Well, I think the evidence is clear when our group text with me, you and Adam and Andy, I don't think anybody said, oh, I'm sure that missed extra point's going to cost us later. Right. That's usually an automatic that, you know, I'm sure we won't lose by one now.
Yeah, exactly.
I was waiting for somebody to, because I almost said it myself because no one was saying it. So that's even proof that things are going better, that the four of us are like, maybe that won't hurt us this time.
I may have sent it, but I was on a fall retreat this weekend, so I couldn't watch the game until 3 o'clock. until like 6 o'clock, actually.
So I didn't, you'd have been sending it off.
I think so. I think I would have probably sent that one off. I would have bit on the bait. So
yeah, it is the low hanging fruit. Yeah.
So Yeah, like you said earlier, 5-1 at the bye week. You are correct. Yeah. I don't remember exactly what your second half record was before the start of the season, but you had us losing quite a bit of games. Like you mentioned, you had the Vikings losing the Cardinals game. Do you want to switch and change that prediction? Do you want to amend your original prediction?
Yeah, well, so let's just look at the next five games, just for kind of the short-term perspective here. Okay. So, versus Arizona, obviously looks a lot easier than we thought it would, but there's still not a pushover. Then, after that, at Washington should be a win. That's what I had as a win. But then the next 3 weeks after that, at Buffalo, loss, that'd be tough. Versus Dallas, they look like a better team than the Vikings right now. And then versus New England on Sunday Night Football.
Bailey Zapp.
Yeah, which again, I know the Patriots aren't insane. Obviously, like that's still a competent team. So like the schedule does, we're kind of in the middle. We're about to end, I should say, the easy kind of part of the schedule. Then it picks up a little bit in that kind of last chunk, and then we have the Bears and the Lions again, which should be wins. At Lambeau is one of the last, to the last week, or I think it's the second to last week. So, you know, a couple hard games left, but yeah, no, I have them at 10-7. It's, yeah, 5-1, the way they're looking. And honestly, the part that I think changed from what we were, when we were predicting this in August, early September, what's different is that the NFC is, I think, worse than we thought.
Yes.
I think that's the biggest thing that changed with our teams. A bunch of teams are worse than we thought.
Yeah.
Packers included, right? I mean, obviously they might figure it out, but just the idea that the schedule looks potentially even easier, because even the Cowboys, their defense is great, but their offense is, I mean, I know Dak's been out, but like even with Dak, it's not going to be like a Buffalo Bills style or Chiefs style offense. So like that's a winnable game. Patriots, again, they're going to be a 500 team, winnable game. Colts, we play later. They're going to be a 500. Matt Ryan, I know their defense is okay. Jonathan Taylor's good, but Matt Ryan, you're not really scared of them. Could they win? Yes, but I would still pick the Vikings at this point, which I did as well in August. Mm-hmm. But the point is, schedule, just the NFL in general, some of the teams we thought would be really good aren't as good as we thought.
Yeah.
So, and like the Giants, like could the Vikings beat the Giants? Absolutely. You know, like seemed like a layup, but again, as another 5-1 team, like if those two played this week, that'd be two of probably the worst 5-1 teams in history to ever play.
Probably. So, oh man.
Could the Vikings take advantage and end up 12-5? Absolutely. But
yeah, it'll be interesting to see, like you mentioned earlier, the 50-50 games that the Vikings have won so far through the first 6 weeks of the season. They've won every single one of them. And like you said earlier, and like we've said in the past, they're bound to lose at least one of these games, unless Kirk Cousins is just going to have game-winning drive after game-winning drive after game-winning drive. Speaking of 50-50 games that we won, so the Vikings beat the Dolphins with the backup quarterback. Skylar Thompson got hurt, then Teddy came in. They beat the Saints with the backup quarterback. Andy Dalton filled in for Jameis Winston. And this is another trend this season. You look in the past and you think, oh my gosh, the backup quarterback against the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings are going to be haunted by this backup quarterback, whether it was Cooper Rush last year. I mean, you could go all the way back to like the 2003-2004 season when Josh McCown knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs.
No!
Yeah, it's Paul Allen's no call. That's been another trend so far this season. We have not been haunted by backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, so that begs the question, would we rather, in a couple, it's like 4 weeks from now, we probably would rather play Dak Prescott, right?
Well,
Cooper Rush is going to beat us.
I mean, that's true. I mean, he beat us last year, 14-7.
Or maybe at that point, Dak will still be the backup. Is there a quarterback controversy?
Controversy. No,
we're not Stephen A. Smith. We're not we're not dumb. Sorry, he's not dumb, but that was a dumb take. I think actually it was even Skip Bayless. I don't think it was Stephen A.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, Skip is the big Dallas Cowboys fan.
Yeah, I think he was the one that was saying that Cooper Rush might be better.
But yeah. Anyway. He's got the heart. Yeah. The intangibles.
Like, that's great, but Dak's better.
Yeah.
That's my counter argument.
Right. There's a reason why Dak got $40 million. Maybe he's overpaid, but there's also a reason why he got that amount of money. So This is what we do on the Wednesday starting last week. Robe of the week, which means the MVP of the week. Last year, it was an obvious choice for the both of us. There's one choice and one choice only, and it was Amir Smith-Marset for the Chicago Bears, a former Minnesota Viking player, who the Chicago Bears released this week following their game on Sunday. Which, I mean, shows that the Vikings were right in releasing him. This week, not so easy. You could go Za'Darius Smith, who had a couple of sacks and a bunch of pressures. You could go Harrison Smith, who had two takeaways defensively. Obviously, you could go Kirk Cousins or Dalvin Cook or Justin Jefferson or Kevin O'Connell or, I mean, or Jalen Waddle maybe. There's a lot of different ways you could take this. So who is your robe of the week?
I know. I was thinking about that. Yeah, because like Waddle was the first one that came into my mind as like the theme of, you know, the Vikings robe of the week is not given to a Viking because that's kind of the way the season has gone.
Yeah.
I will say that we didn't really talk about, but yeah, the one thing that was encouraging about the defense was I feel like this is the first week they figured out how to get pressure on the quarterback consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Za'Darius Smith, even Danielle Hunter finally looked like he was participating in the pass rush. I mean, you know, he always has, but like he actually was getting to the quarterback finally.
You actually saw him flash.
You actually saw him like, the announcer said his name once, and you're like, oh, there we go. Okay, Neil Hunter's back. So that was fun. So that hopefully that's a trend that's moving forward. But anyway, back to the robe of the week. Yeah, all the offensive players had good options. You could give Dalvin Cook for that one run. I don't know. I mean, the other one I was thinking about was you could go with Vikings fans because like half of that stadium was Vikings fans. So I think that was kind of fun.
You go officials, too, with all the holding calls they called in the second quarter.
Yeah, holding calls. Give it to Teddy just for, you know, for a good classic Teddy effort where he gets them, the team close, but he doesn't quite convert. So you give it to Teddy. But I think I'm going to have to go with my guy, Jalen Waddle. Without that fumble, and it was kind of a lame fumble, like our guy just kind of barely touched the ball out of his arm and it went flying up. I wasn't convinced the Vikings were going to stop him. I was 100% convinced it was about to be 17-16. So without that fumble, things get dicey. Vikings took advantage. So I think that was the turning point in the game. Jalen Waddle, robe of the week.
I'm going to give it to Smith on defense. Now you can fill in the blank, whether that's Harrison Smith or Za'Darius Smith. I'm just picking both of them.
It's a big robe.
Huge robe, massive robe. I mean, this thing is like a blimp kind of thing.
Yep.
But Harrison Smith's two takeaways, Za'Darius Smith's amazing defensive end performance. I mean, Jalen Waddle's fumble was caused by Harrison Smith, and Harrison Smith had the interception before halftime, which bobbled around between like three or four different Vikings. I was waiting for Julian Edelman to sneak in and jump in and snag it away last minute from Kendricks and Smith batting it back and forth. And then the Vikings kicked the field goal before halftime. Classic Teddy Bridgewater throw there. So I'll give it to the Smiths on defense for my robe of the week. The Timberwolves debut season opener is tonight, I think, at Target Center against the Oklahoma City Thunder. I will not be there. You will probably not be there. But do you have any like inkling on where the Timberwolves will finish this season in the Western Conference with Rudy Gobert? I'll probably do a podcast tomorrow reacting to the first game, giving a little season preview, my thoughts. So let's hear your takeaways.
It's kind of fun. I mean, that's the most excited I think Minnesota's been about basketball in a long time. Johnny Krasinski, Johnny Athletic, was talking about the Wolves added 2,500 season ticket holders this year. So they went from bottom of the league to, I believe he said the first in the league in terms of percentage of season ticket holders. They've sold the same number of tickets right now as they had of like late November last year. So they're like 2 months ahead of their like single game sales.
Now don't blow it, Timberwolves.
Well, that's the thing. So people are excited and it makes sense. And, you know, people will talk about the trade in the future until the Cows come home. Was it worth all those first round picks? I mean, in the short term, there's no doubt that it will be. It might be clunky to start. That's the biggest thing I hope Wolves fans understand is that Towns and Gobert played one game together and it looked kind of not great, that preseason game. It'll take some time for them to figure it out. It'll take some time for Edwards to figure out how to use the space when you have Gobert and Towns on the court at the same time. the schedule is easy, but it'll be clunky to start. They play like the Spurs twice, the Thunder. They have some easy games. Over under wise, I think they're at 48.5, and I would probably hit the over. I would say they're going to beat that over under. Probably not by a ton. That's the biggest thing that people don't realize as well. I keep seeing people like chalk the Wolves into like easy 2 or 3 or 4 seed. Like they're going to be, and they will be. I do think they'll be good, but I think what people don't realize is there's going to be a logjam of there potentially like 6-7 teams that could have like 48 to like 53 wins. Like
the Western Conference is still really, really, really good.
Right. And there's the bottom 3 or 4 teams. You have the Jazz, the Rockets, the Thunder, the Spurs are going to be 4 teams that are absolutely trash. So that's every single team in the playoffs are going to be able to beat those teams a bunch of times, right? So like you don't have an advantage from that. Now, 2 of them are in the Wolves division, which helps play them a little bit extra. It's not inconceivable the Wolves could be in the playing game, is my point. I want Wolves fans to be ready for that emotionally. Because all you have to do is be a 6 seed. And again, you could be a 48-win team potentially and be a 6 seed, right? And I'm not talking like, or sorry, the 7 seed.
7 seed, yeah. But yeah, we know what you meant.
Out of the 6 seed, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Because like you have the Mavs who will be right in that same range. The Nuggets will probably be better.
Pelicans the Clippers will be legit, I'm sure. If Zion stays healthy.
Pelicans should be in like the same tier of that 6 to 10 seed range. Obviously, I don't think the Wolves will fall to a 10. I think the Wolves will be in the top 8 for sure. But it's just they could end up at that 7. You've got the Warriors. The Clippers should have everybody back and will probably be a top 4 team. The Nuggets should be a top 4 team. The Suns, like that's already 5-6 teams that you could probably easily argue could be better than the Wolves. So it's, again, a successful season, I think, is coming. I think they're going to win 48-plus games right in that 50-win mark, right in that range. However, that the top 7 teams from the West could also all be right in that range. So I just emotionally, Wolves, be ready. If we are a 6 or 7 seed, that doesn't mean that it was a failure. It just means that the West was probably better than, you know, even the Lakers, if they figured out, I wouldn't count on LeBron James and Anthony Davis to figure it out.
Yeah,
if Anthony Davis looks like 2 years ago, Anthony Davis, which is still possible, he's not over the hill yet. They could be a top 6 team. So I don't think it's just going to be a layup Wolves fans 2 seed kind of thing or 3 seed or even 4 seed is like a given. It's possible. It might just come down to a game or two to be that 3 seed or that 7 seed. So the big thing the Wolves have going for them that I think some of those teams don't. Sorry, this has been a long rant.
No, go ahead. Just let it roll. Let it rip.
I think the one thing the Wolves fans or the Wolves team, I should say, will have going for them is that I think they're going to take this regular season very seriously. Whereas I think teams like the Warriors, like they take it seriously, but they're also going to have more load management. The Clippers are going to have a lot of load management with Kawhi and Paul George back.
Good point.
Lakers, of course, will have some load management. Like there's going to be teams that the Suns too with Chris Paul, like they take the playoff or they take the regular season seriously, but they're okay with if they fall a seed or two, kind of life goes on. Even the Warriors have some load management too with those main stars that they have. The Wolves, I don't think will have much of that, right? They're all young other than Gobert. This is the first time they've been together. I think they're going to be kind of all out in the regular season, trying to prove that they should be a good team, if that makes sense. They have a lot to prove. Those other teams don't have anything to prove, really. They've been there before. They've done it. They know they're going to be in the playoffs. The Wolves are the new kids on the block. They got to prove that they belong. In the Grizzlies, we didn't even mention them, right? They could be better than the Wolves, too. So, anyway, they're going to take the regular season seriously, which could help them. You know, they want to prove that they're one of the top 6 teams in the West, and that means showing up every day and trying to win as many regular season games as they can. So, they do have that going for them. So, that could go in their favor, but we'll see. I don't know. Right around 50 wins is my prediction. Finch Coach of the Year, Gobert Defensive Player of the Year.
Edwards
MVP, and Jalen Noel, Sixth Man of the Year.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
It should be fun, though. They should actually be fun to watch, which is also just as far as we are concerned, that's fun. So
Yeah. I think it's about poopy milkshake time. It's time to wrap up the Minnesota Tim podcast. Jake,
did he reach out to you, by the way, last week after we shouted out him all the time?
Or he what? Did. He did reach out to me. He told me the story about it. He told me why it was poopy milkshake. He actually just sent the message to me last night and I haven't read it yet. He said, it took a while, but here's where I think the name Pooping Milkshake came from. My son Tyler and his friend, when they were between 8 and 10 years old, came up with funny names that were combinations of bad words, food colors. I think they put them in a hat and drew out of combinations. Pooping Milkshake was one. Bill Eats Chicken was another. No real meaning other than fourth graders having fun the way fourth graders do.
That honestly clears it up a lot, because that makes way more sense. Because I thought it was just some random kind of old man just going, ha-ha,
yeah.
Pooping Milkshake's funny. But no, when you hear that it's from a kid, you're like, oh, that makes a lot more sense. I could see all my fifth graders saying, Pooping Milkshake is really funny. So
yeah, or it's a really good cover-up story. It's a perfect cover-up story.
True.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Minnesota Tim Podcast. I seriously have a Pooping Milkshake on its way in a matter of seconds. Jakes, thanks for listening. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for doing what you do. I appreciate it all.
Thank you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Digital trends show up every day in business decisions and actions. West Monroe is the number one strategic partner translating technology into financial value for companies. The This Is Digital podcast applies West Monroe's two decades of secrets and best practices to your business's benefit. Favorite past topics from the last three seasons include how AI and the next generation of employees are shaping the workplace, becoming a product company, Highmark's journey, and what does it mean to put the customer first? Learn more at westmonroe.com.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.